Okay, good evening. This is the October 18th, 2016 meeting of the National Finance Committee of the Pacific National Board, and this is Michael Novick, the chair. R. Paul Martin, the secretary, will call the roll.
Okay. Nick Arena. Fred Blair.
Present.
Adriana Kusinov.
Present.
Joseph Davis.
Present.
R. Paul Martin here. Tony Norman.
Present.
Michael Moeck.
Present.
Serene Roberts. Barbara Whipperman.
Here.
Okay, that's seven.
And Mark Torres announced he was here.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's not...
So we have a little bit of housekeeping business. Just a couple of minutes ago, distribute a revised proposed agenda, which I guess I'll read from the stream.
Michael, can you tell me when we received the Pacifica Radio Archive budget?
Well, I sent it out a day or two ago. I just sent another version that Mark provided a little early this evening, which shows last year and this year, I think, side by side. He said, so check your email right now, and there should be a version of it in there. But I did send it. I don't know if it was yesterday morning or the day before. So the revised proposal on an agenda is a call to order, agenda approval, minutes approval, the Pacific Radio Archives fiscal year 2017 budget proposal, presentation and discussion, a check-in on the state of station budget proposals, additions to the National Finance Committee Yahoo Group or its replacement, scheduling of future meetings, and adjournment. And the scheduling of future meetings is because we won't be able... We don't have a document from the Pacifica National Office. It's still being developed and has to go through the management there, and then we'll have it to discuss at our scheduled meeting, which is next Tuesday. But I think we need to schedule an additional meeting then to look at station budgets after that. So does somebody want to move the agenda, and then we can discuss it?
So move.
Okay, if you want to move that, I guess we don't need seconds, right, in committee, is that right?
No.
Okay, so is there a discussion of that proposed agenda? I forget if there are any minutes. Did you distribute anything, R. Paul?
No, not yet.
No, all right.
I have a question about what you read, Michael.
Go ahead, Barbara.
I didn't see the one... that you just sent, but I see the other one, and I was marking what you were the same.
Yes.
Did you say that we would be discussing a revised central services payment proposal?
No, I took that off because we
you
have
left
to
that out and left the P&O budget out.
Yeah,
okay.
You can't really look at the central payment.
That's fine.
Yes, Michael, I cannot see the... Sorry. Yes, I can see the one that you sent yesterday or a few days ago, but I don't see the one that you sent today neither.
I like 8 minutes ago, I think it probably had the same header, but it's the first words in it, our revised proposal. So it's the same as the last one, except it does not have the P&O budget on it, and therefore it does not have the discussion.
I'm talking about the PRI.
The PRA budget.
The revised agenda, I saw it. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, but...
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just saw it.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Any further discussion of the agenda? Any objections to the agenda? Okay. So hearing none, we'll consider that our agenda for this meeting. if there are no minutes, I guess we can dispense with minutes approval and just go directly to a presentation about the PRA budget, so we won't waste too much of Mark's time.
Great.
Did you want to go ahead and walk us through it or talk?
Okay, yeah. Does everybody have a copy of this in front of them?
I'm the one open it. I sent a day or so ago.
Okay. The budget that I think I sent to you, Michael, originally has the 2016 budget and then the fiscal year 2016 and then the fiscal year 2017 budget. We also have I have figures for what our actual budget amount was and the over-under amounts for each one of the revenue streams or expenses. So in any case, the Pacifica Radio Archive staff is now four people. For most of fiscal year 2016, we were seven people. So we're going to be three people less for 2017. We're hoping that at some point, if we regain financial stability, that we will be able to do a hire. The staff as it stands right now is myself as the interim director of the Pacifica Radio Archives. We have Mariana Berkovich, who is our bookkeeper. We have Sean Dulles, who is our office administrator, who takes all calls, places all orders, etc. And we have Edgar Toledo, who is our production coordinator, and he produces everything that goes out of the archives to either stations or listeners or any other vendors looking for our materials. So those are the four staff members. The three staff members that are no longer here is former director Brian DeShazer, who resigned in June. Joseph Gallucci, who was laid off in May. And Jolene Beiser, who resigned a few weeks ago to take a great job at Cornell University doing a great archiving project. So it's my hope that if we do regain financial stability as a network, that we would rehire a Master's of Library and Information Science archivist here, so that we would be five people. The reason for that is that allows us to do a lot of grant work that we won't be able to do without one. So as it stands, we are four people, and we can still do all of the work that we need to do that we did with seven. The reason we had seven people, quite frankly, was to pursue $125,000 grant, a two-year grant that ended, and Brian felt the need to hire two and even three archivists at a time in order to fulfill the deliverables. We're not in any position to be taking on any grant work at this point that requires matching funds or anything like that. So those expenses will no longer be part of the archive's fiscal year 2017 budget. So we'll start with listener support. For 2016, we had a budget of $160,000. For 2016, we ended up raising $75,000, which was at a deficit of $84,000. We are projecting for 2017 in both the listener support and the website income to be $93,000, $85,000 for listener support and $8,000 for website income. Most of this money is going to be coming on our November 15th fund drive. We've been averaging over $100,000 for the last 13 years, and then the last 2 years, we've been coming in around $75,000. We think we're going to do better this year, not only because we're going to be fundraising, but the five Pacifica stations have agreed, actually four of the five stations have agreed to give us a one-day average of their current fall fund drive, so that we did not do a second fundraising day. We've been doing 2 days of fundraising in mid-November. We'd like to reduce it to one with our diminished staff. And in exchange, the stations have agreed to add a day to their fund drive and give us that fund drive average. And so between that and our one-day fund drive, we should exceed our $85,000 budget number.
Actually, for a second, you're saying that's separate from any central service payments for the
That
CRA.
Is correct. That is correct. Now, just to give you an overall view of this, on the first page of this this budget proposal, last year for fiscal year 2016, we had a budget of $487,346. The actual amount of money that came in was $426,835,000. We came in at a deficit of $60,000 for this fiscal year. In comparison, for 2017, our total is $327,558. So we are scheduled to have a budget that's significantly less than last year's fiscal year budget by about $150,000 less. The overall scope of this budget, with all of the expenses and revenue streams projected to come in, we are projected to be $60,000 in income surplus this year if we meet all of our goals for central services money and fundraising and income from our general operation. So I think the overall look of this budget for fiscal year 2017, just to give you an introduction to it, is that we're a reduced staff. We're not diminishing any of our services to the stations or to listeners or to outside vendors like film production projects. For example, in the last couple of months that I've been the interim director, we've had six film and book projects that have licensed materials from us, and one library in Oakland that licensed our Black Panther materials for the 50th anniversary of the founding of the Black Panther Party. So we're not going to lessen any of our services, even at a reduced staff of four. We have very experienced people here. The least experienced of the bunch is Sean, and he's been here for over 10 years. Myself, I've been here for 25 years. Edgar's been here for 16 years, and Mariana's been here for over 30 years. So we have a great institutional knowledge of the workings and obligations of the archives, and we are all staff members that make sure that everything that needs to happen will happen. We're doers, we're producers, we make things happen. So so that's like the general overall scope of this budget, is that we're about $150,000 less than last year. If everything comes in as is, we're scheduled to have a $60,000 surplus. That gives us a lot of flexibility to come up short in some areas and hopefully improve in others. If you take a look on the first page for major donor income, we show that we budgeted, or one of our bright spots was we budgeted $30,000 for large donors. We actually came in with $47,000, so we were actually $17,000 over in our big donor section. Now, we put $5,000 this year. I have a feeling that I am going to, I've been in talks with large donors in the last several months, and I think I can get a collection of donors that we have not ever asked to help the archives do our work, and I feel like that number will grow. I put $5,000 to be very conservative, but I feel optimistic that it will probably exceed the $47,000 that we made last year without even talking to any of the donors that gave us that $47,000. That was mainly made up of a handful of people that are still around and available, but I would like to go to them second after I approach a new group of large donors. So I tried to be as conservative as possible in all of these line items so that we would be realistic in being able to reach this budget and make sure that it happens. So if we just want to continue down, so that major donor line, $5,000, I feel is going to be much larger. Car donations, we didn't really take advantage of this year. We're going to make a big deal of it on our website and during our November 15th fund drive to donate their old junker cars, and we actually make a lot of money. We made over $2,000 in 2015. We only made $680 this last year. We feel that we're going to go back to making $2,000 this year on that. We didn't push that at all this year. Community-sponsored events. We didn't really do a lot of that this year. We budgeted $4,000. We've made up to $10,000 in past years. We made $2,300 last year. We feel confident that we're going to do $4,000 this year. And that will probably be with the help of some of our large donors and some of their at some of their venues that they, in preliminary talks, have opened up their venues to us to do charity fundraising events. And that includes a nightclub downtown that is very proactive with progressive causes. They've held fundraisers for the transgender community. There's an institute on the campus of UCLA that has actually won a Supreme Court case. They've done two fundraisers for them and raised $80,000 in two events. The owner of the venue, Andrew Myron, is somebody who has opened his venue. He would let me have his venue, provided we have our fundraising opportunity ready to go. And we would like to do things like that in the coming year. And we have some real estate developers that are progressive-minded that are willing to help us carry those out and execute those. So I feel like that is going to be a much bigger number as well. We were conservative with $4,000. Okay, if you guys look at the PRA premium sales to stations, this number is taken actually from the five stations' budgets. The five stations actually put, when you total up the five stations, it added up to $45,000 for 2016. That's in their budget. We just put their number in our number. In actuality, for 2016, we only made $19,000. That was about $26,000 short of the station's projections. And most of that $19,000 came from KPFK. Now, we're not exactly sure what's going on with the other four stations, but you know, there's lots of rumors that many of the other stations have their own production facilities and are having expenses that will allow them to do in-house duplication at their own station. I feel this needs to be centralized to the one unit that does this for a living and does this as our service to the stations. The stations need to get back to using our materials, having us duplicate the materials, and even if it's not our historic archive collection, to send their masters to us to have us do the duplication work. We offer these at a very nominal fee to the stations, and it just seems to me that if we have it in our budget to have this equipment here, and each of the stations go out and buy equipment and pay people to do that, that's a waste of resources, especially when we're at this financial crisis moment within the foundation. So we put back the $45,000, and we're hoping with the leadership of the PNB and the executive director that we can get back to mandating to the stations that they use the Pacifica Radio Archives as their duplication resource. We do it fast. We can turn it around in a couple of days. We can do both CDs, DVDs, and jump drives at professional quality with very minimal mistakes, and we can turn it around in a couple of days. So we want to keep that number at 45,000, and we're hoping to expand on the great work that we do with KPFK each and every fund drive with all of the stations in the network. And then moving back down to the next line, premium sales to non-Pacifica. That's people calling in. We budgeted $25,000 for fiscal year 2016. We actually got close to $36,000, so we were about $11,000 in the plus on that end. We're just going to leave that number at $25,000, and hopefully we stay with the $35,000 number, and we do good in that way. That's basically the revenue streams that we have at this moment. Now, one thing that is not in the budget, but it's something that I would like to expand on, is something called our campus campaign. We're currently one professor at Cal State Los Angeles is using Pacifica Radio Archives materials as required source material in his history classes. He has a black history class, he has a civil rights history class, and a general history class. He has three classes, and he requires the students to utilize our materials. That allows us to make $9,000 a year to be in three classes from one professor. We would like to, if we get some stability with our financing and regular payments from central services, we would like to expand this campus campaign to more than one professor and maybe go into women's history, maybe go into literature, go into poetry, go into music, women's studies, Latin American studies, Asian studies. We have one of the greatest collections in social history around, something that was around 20 years before NPR even started, and we probably have another 10 years of material before NPR really got it together and started archiving their materials. So our great collection would really add to classrooms around the country. We feel like if we expand that, we could create, we're hoping to create another line item for next fiscal year that will include the campus campaign. And hopefully that number will be big. And hopefully that number will allow us not only to sustain our work and what we do, but maybe even contribute to each of the stations. So that's our revenue. Now going down to expenses, that is divided up into six different lines: personnel, board expenses, administrative expenses, programming expenses, development, and community special events. Now, the two big expenses are personnel and administrative expenses. Personnel, I went over. Last year it was 401. We have budgeted for next year 248,000. so it's a little over $150,000 less in personnel costs. Administrative expenses we're going to keep at the same. We budgeted $55,000. We actually came in at $54,000, so we actually saved. We were minus $1,400. We were very close on that line, so we're going to stay there. Programming expenses, we budgeted $11,000. We brought in $15,000, so that was $3,000. We're going to just keep it at around $12,000. Development expenses, for 2016, it was budgeted at $17,000. It came in at $16,000. We're reducing that to $10,000. If we do any development, we're going to do development that will bring in revenue streams that do not have a matching component. I've already reached out to several people that work with nonprofits, bringing in grant revenues and other private donors' revenue. And the ones that I've spoken to, who have spoken to me without charge, have told me that there's a lot of money out there that doesn't have a matching component, like the last big grant that was brought into the archives. I don't think the network can handle another matching grant. It really has to be revenue that comes in that doesn't have a matching component. So if we bring in somebody for development, it will be for that. It will not be for any other reason but to look for revenue streams for the archives. We have a historic collection. This is a legacy unit. I mean, Pacifica Radio, I don't have to tell you guys, 1949, I mean, this is a legacy community radio network. There's nothing like it in the world. We started before anybody else. When you say this to the right people, wallets will swing wide. And from the people that I've spoken to, I want to take advantage of it in the very near future. So the development expenses will be at attracting people who enjoy the legacy of Pacifica Radio and what we've been doing since 1949. It's just too great a collection, from civil rights to literature to spirituality, Alan Watts, all of our civil rights collection. I mean, there's nothing like it. It's historic, and so I want to go and connect and network with people that can help us bring in revenue to help us sustain this amazing collection. Okay, central services money. You guys are going to have to help me with this line. This is something that was set in advance, and we're just going with the numbers that carried over from last year. If any of those numbers change, we need to know what that is, and we can make adjustments. Again, if you take a look at page number 2 in the income and surplus line, when you factor in all of the revenue that we have proven that we have made in the past, from fund drives to major donors to central services money, we, with this current proposed fiscal year 2017 budget, we turn out to have $60,000. We're going to be have an income surplus of $60,000. So we have some flexibility here to adjust the numbers based on whatever the central services money comes up with. But I hope that we can keep the numbers close to where they are. I think that we're at like 1.8% of station's income. And if someone were to tell me, if I donate 1.8% of what I bring in during the year, and a legacy unit like the Pacifica Radio Archives can survive and do its work, not only servicing the stations and the producers and our listeners and the outside university and scholarly community, I would say that's a deal. Like 1.8% is an unbelievably low amount, even in tough financial times. Like 1.8% of whatever I bring in is a great deal. So I'm hoping that those numbers stay the same. But to tell you the truth, when I first started in 1990, that number was 2.5%. And, you know, it's been hard to see it shrink to its current level of 1.8. But stations aren't even making that 1.8. And I think the Pacifica National Board, I urge the board to mandate to the stations that they pay that 1.8%. We have to be the first thing on people's minds, not the last thing, because the amount, the percentage is so low of what their income is that it should be, you know, the first thing on their mind, as well as, you know, the staff salaries and you know, the electric bill to keep the lights and the transmitters going. But it just seems like 1.8% is something that every station can manage. So I'm hoping that the central services money will stay close to what it is today. But you know, we're willing to work with you on this. As I said, we have $60,000 of flexibility here if we stick to the numbers that we have here on our budget. And I'm happy to ask, you know, answer any questions you may have on any of these numbers.
Okay, sure. Let's take us back a second. I just wanted to respond to your last comment, Mark, because the Pacific National Board did pass a motion from the Finance Committee saying that the station should prioritize central services payments after only payroll and insurance.
Thank you. We really appreciate and respect that. And to tell you the truth, the numbers have actually, you know, everybody hasn't quite caught up, but KPFK is paid up, KPFT is paid up, and KPFA, which was almost 6 months behind, is really only 1 month behind at this point. So the two remaining stations that are very far behind are WBAI and W. But but three of the five stations are up to speed, and I have a feeling that your mandate made a difference, because that wasn't the case even a month ago.
Mm-hmm. So that's good to hear. Okay, so we'll take a stack. I heard Barbara. Other people with questions? Okay, Barbara, why don't you start, and then probably other people. I have some, but I'll wait.
I might have more later, but the one that I want to ask right now is on line 24, the personnel costs.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned in your introductory remarks that you were hoping to hire a fifth person for next.
Okay, seems mute if you're not speaking.
You are hoping to hire a fifth person for the new year.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you're, I'm just not clear whether these figures here, totaling $248,000 something, is that for four people or five? You know, or is there some point along the way you added somebody?
Yeah, we haven't been given approval. Well, first of all of us are at 75% time.
Right, I understand.
So the first priority would, of course, be to raise all four people up to full time. So that's priority number one. Now, this budget actually has the staff at full time in these numbers. Like, we haven't been given a staff of four at full time.
I see.
We have not been given the green light to raise up back up from 75%, but we wanted to present a budget with the 100% at least for the four people. Now, it's possible that if we hit these numbers, now, you know, I'm very practical and realistic when it comes to staffing and expenses. I'm not about to even urge for a hire if it, there's no pathway, there's no financial pathway to do so. But if for some reason these numbers start, you know, beginning in November 15 during our fund drive, these numbers start to add up, then I would say I would press to say, you know what, we need a Master's of Library and Information Scientist on board. Now, Jolene Beiser did a really great job of getting our website and our the infrastructure of our archival information structure up to the most current standards, and she left us with a blueprint for the next person to step right in. Now, it was a tough decision for her to go because she actually has a partner that lives here in Los Angeles that's not leaving with her to New York, and she has family and friends here. It was a tough decision, but it was a great job opportunity. She said that there was a person who actually went through a pretty intense round of review to get an intern in here for a year, which we ended up not selecting, and they went up to Portland to work at KABU. But that intern, who is a Master of Library and Information Science with a specialty in audio recordings, will be available in a year, and that might be. Jolene thought if she could pick one person to get an intern, that would be the person.
Personnel.
The quick answer is, probably shouldn't have that personnel, Mark. Yeah.
It's an open call, so you probably shouldn't have details about personnel.
Okay. Gotcha.
Thank you for your explanation.
Yes.
Michael, your voice is fuzzy on and off, just to let you know, at least for me.
Okay, I'll try to get closer to the phone.
Right there.
Yeah. Take it off, sure. I had a question myself. You mentioned, Mark, about the licensing.
Yeah.
And is that an income source at all? And if so, where is it reflected? Is that...
Mariana folded that into our PRA premiums. And I mean premium sales to non-Pacifica.
Non-Pacifica, okay.
Yeah, so that one's probably the reason why we were $10,000 over this year.
Mm-hmm.
Or $11,000,
okay.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that, you know, on the PRA site, I noticed that you took note of the blank on blank of Dylan using, Pacifica archival material and that you're promoting a copy of, you know, Dylan on Pacifica Radio.
Okay, let me just clarify. Yeah, yeah. Just to clarify that, David Gerlach, who heads the production company Blank on Blank, that's partnered with PBS Animation, they contact us and actually license this audio from us for their productions. So that's part of the, and we're actually in the process of doing two new ones for this year.
Great.
Already.
Yeah, I remember the Coltrane one, and I think that's really, as far beyond the licensing, I think it's great promotion and publicity for the archive. So,
wait, who is this?
No, I remember you did the Coltrane. Yeah, this is Michael speaking still.
Okay, Michael, you are absolutely right, Michael. I can't tell. We actually put this audio. We're unable to track right now on our own website, but we've put select audio on SoundCloud on the Pacifica page where we're able to track this. We're able to find out the individuals, what country they're from, and right now, because of the blank on blank, it's been unbelievable promotional help for us to bring awareness to the Pacifica Radio Archives collection. We literally went from having a couple hundred people listen to our audio pre-2014. When the John Coltrane hit, we went from a couple hundred people in a year to 31,000 people.
Right.
And we're on track to be over 40,000 listens this year with a huge rate of our collection. So it's a great promotional tool for us to use. And I'm trying to encourage the Pacifica stations to put these on their websites because they're fun to see. And it really highlights what Pacifica's been up to. Got some great audio. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Well, I have another one if nobody else does.
Tony.
Okay, yeah, why don't we take the first round first? So, Tony, go ahead. And we'll come back to you later.
Yeah, this is kind of related to the budget, but I'm concerned about it because of an incident this year. Are there any storage facilities that we should be paying? And because of the mishap that happened with the other, but the billing. So what do we have any other facilities with the archives that we have stuff storage that we have to pay? And are we up to date on those?
Okay, that's a really good question. Yes, the Pacifica Radio Archives, I mean, the history is we had our own building on Venice at one point where the entire collection lived. And when WBAI got into some trouble in the late 80s, they sold the building, and the deal was the archives would move on top of KPFK, and we just didn't have enough space for the entire collection. So we're actually in three different vaults. That line item is actually on our budget here.
Line 96, 60,
yeah.
6635.
So we are up to date on our payment. I did a walkthrough on all of the three facilities with Jolene the day before she left. I believe now the storage facility in question was that one was connected with the national office. It had a lot of it started when the national office was here in Los Angeles, and then it continued to be paid through the Berkeley when national went to Washington, D.C., and then it moved back to Berkeley, and it was continued to be paid up until 2010. Now, I wasn't involved in that. I was not the director of the archives, or was I aware of what was going on at the national office level, but I do know that those vaults were full of paperwork. It wasn't really heavy on tapes. The only tapes that were there were tapes that were not Pacifica tapes. They weren't copyright owned by Pacifica. They were reels that were producers like Played Records or something, so it wasn't. It wasn't anything copyright owned by Pacifica, but it was mostly paperwork. And as far as I know, when I went into one of our storage units, one of them is full of national office paperwork. So I do believe that the paperwork that was in those vaults in 2010 is now in one of our vaults. And yes, so it is an expense, and it is something that we're up to date with. We pay every month. And, as far as I know, we've budgeted that in. We've never missed a payment, and all of our tapes that are not here actually in the archives are safe and sound.
R. Paul?
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay. I need a little clarification on a couple of things.
Okay.
So, all right, you're not using the same template as everybody else, I think, are you? Because yours looks your budget looks a little bit different.
You know what? We sent out the same template one. It only went through. I think it went through. It went to the end of August. It didn't go for September, and so there was a month that I wasn't personally able to get a grasp on. I needed to see from September to September, the full fiscal year. So I had Mariana make me up one where I could see the numbers for every line item clearly from September to September. It might be different from the original template.
I did receive from you a budget dated October 4th, which I sent out, and that does follow.
That one should have been right. Yeah.
Yeah, that follows the same template. It's got the cash flow tab, the reconciliation tab, premium sales, collections. So everybody should have that somewhere.
I have the October 4th one, and it doesn't show the previous time the way the others have done that we've seen. So
I see.
So you got to switch back and forth. October I can see 4th. The FY17 cash flow forecast.
Yeah.
But I am not seeing, let's see, can I go all the way back here? Yeah, I see I have on page one, which is FY 2017 only annual budget, that's what we got, which is fine. But usually we have the comparison numbers from previous years on that same sheet.
They're squished. It's like A through AA through AG or something like that, or?
They're hidden. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're
no
hidden.
We're not
yeah,
these
sorry about that.
Yeah, all right. I'm gonna have to look at that. So looking at the spreadsheet here, I see that in line 22, total revenue is $179,000, and total operating expenses are $327,600.
Yeah,
and then you're coming out in a surplus of $59,960 because you've got total central services at $208,560.
That's correct.
And so clearly that central services this year are really, really critical, or you're going to end up in a very large deficit.
Yeah. I mean, central services is, I mean, for last year, it was a little less than half. For the upcoming year, it's a little more than half.
Right. So you're saying
as is.
So you're saying that the stations, though, in the past month or so, have started really kicking it in. So,
yeah.
I mean, you're not missing a lot, right? It sounds like you've gotten most of your FY16 central services delivered. Is that correct?
From three of the stations, KPFK, KPFA, and KPFT, all really good.
Okay, but is that fully paid up for 2016?
Yeah, pretty much.
They are.
Yes, I would say yes. And then W and BAI, that is a pretty large number. It's 37,000 and 24,000. But we've managed to make payroll and bring up and pay for health insurance, even though we're close to like $60,000 short from the two DC and New York stations. But we're hoping that with their current trajectory of staffing and revenue generating, that will turn around. It looks like it is. I mean, even Bertolt's starting to pay at WBEI, so I have a feeling that we'll be okay there. Now, if the three stations, KPFK, KPFA, and KPFT, maintain what they're doing today, we can work around some deficits at other stations. It's just when everybody at the same time is that way, difficult. If we get at least three of the five up to date, we're good. But, of course, we'd be better if everybody was meeting their central services goal.
All right, so on the cash flow, can you tell me what is in cell AC22, the total receipts for FY16? Because that's giving me an error, so I don't have a number in it.
Okay, let me look over here. Total receipts here.
Which cell?
That's AC-22.
AC.
Yeah.
AC-22.
On cash flow.
Line 22.
I see the line 22, but there's only a column with C and a column with A. I'm not seeing AC.
No, at the end.
Oh, at the end.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The total for fiscal year 2016. I think that's probably 2017, right? I think that's just a scrivener there, so to speak. It's 12 months, ending September 30th, 2017.
That's for...
It says 2016 here.
Yeah, but I think that's it. As I'm saying, I think that's a mistake. I think that's a projection for the 12 months ending 2017, right? Is that, Mark...
AC is not the budget, the new budget.
It's the fiscal year 2017 cash flow forecast tab, right after the budget. So I think the numbers are just, the dates are getting wrong.
I believe that they are not there because previous you have 2015. You have 2015, and then you have 2016. You don't have the... I don't see 2017 there.
Okay, let's see. 2015, we've got 2016. Life is over here. Get over there. AC. September. Okay, so line 22 is total receipts. September 35, September... There doesn't seem to be a number there. It says reference, right?
Oh,
yes.
Okay, so you're getting an error there too.
Yeah, I'm getting an error.
All right.
I'll have to talk to Mariana, but I guess we could just add those up. I'm actually getting an error in November too.
On
this one.
I believe that it's 2016 because the numbers are exactly the same that you have for 2016.
I mean, for AC, that's definitely 2016, fiscal year 2016,
yes.
For sure. Yeah.
Right. So I was looking to see what that was. Okay. So
I'm getting a couple of errors. I'll have to get those.
Yeah, there are a number of them on there. November is another one. 43, AC 43 is also that receipt over, so... Anyway.
I'm just noticing that,
Okay.
But the totals on our summary, that I sent out more recently, those are correct totals for any of those numbers for revenue, salaries, expenses, administrative expenses, et cetera.
Does everybody see that document? It's called Comparison PRA FY 2016, FY 2017.
Yes.
So got the 2016 budget, the 2016 actuals, under or over for the actuals compared to the budget, and then the 2017 budget.
Okay, what's the name of this file again?
Comparison PRA FY 2016, FY 2017.
Well, it's sent in a different email, right?
It's sent in a different email just before the meeting, or because I only saw it when I got back online. Mark had sent it earlier this afternoon, and I sent it out just before the meeting.
Yeah, that one has... go ahead, Mike.
Go ahead. That's right. Yeah, go ahead, Mark. That's fine.
That one shows the fiscal 2016 budget. The first lines are the accounts. And the codes. The second column is the actual budget. The third column is the 12 months fiscal year 2016 actual. The fourth column is how much over or under was each one of those lines. And then the fifth column is the current budget for 2017, the proposed budget for fiscal year 2017 that compares from last budget, and then you can also take a look at the actual and the over-under. It's a lot more simplified, a lot less detail, but it has all of the totals for all of those columns correct.
I guess my question about that is, you are showing the actuals for central services as same as budget, when I don't think they really were, right?
That
accrual.
That is correct.
Problem. Yeah.
That is correct. You know, I talked to Efren about why he was sending out those numbers as paid in full, and he gave me an accounting answer for that. But you know, Mariana and I have the real numbers. But as I told you, KPFK, KPFT, and KPFA are all caught up, and only WBAI and PFW are behind. They'll have to deal with that when it comes to, you know, their fiscal year budgets. You know, it would have been great that they were completely caught up. I will let the National Finance Office deal with those differences.
I think there's somebody else on the first round question.
Adriana?
Adriana, go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Mark. Thank you for this detail, really. I mean, I'm really happy to see that your budget really look realistic. I'm happy, too, that I see that you are, and you explained it already, but you are, maybe somebody can, I see that you are counting $50,000, more than $50,000 less revenue than what you have in 2016. That is, like you explained, that give you room to play something happen. And I can see, too, that according to the numbers that Efren just sent, you are saving $92,000. In salaries, that is really good. The only thing that I want to be sure that I remember that last year, the PMB passed a motion to make every station to send you every month all their programming, and I don't know if I remember that was a motion, and I don't know if you are receiving it, you're still receiving it or not.
No, we actually are not, which I would love to readdress as now the interim director of the archives. I suggested it, you know, when, you know, Brian would invite me in on some of the national phone calls, because I set up the recorder here at KPFK, and I can't tell you what an amazing resource this is. I save all of these files. I mean, KPFK doesn't even have their full archives. They have to come to us because their system only saves for 2 weeks, sometimes 30 days, sometimes a couple of months. But all music programs, I think, are done after a week, and most of the public affairs shows are gone within a couple of months at most. So we have the KPFK archives going back to 2007, and it's amazing. We have it on our server. Somebody comes up, somebody calls us, oh, I heard this program, and we can just click it, download it, and send it to somebody, like, with a click of a button. If we can have that capacity with all five stations, our collection will be amazing. I mean, there's some great programming going on at all of these stations, and that just makes us even more valuable to have this together. So the short answer is no, they haven't done it, but I sense that Otis in Houston has a lot of those files on his server at a much lower resolution, so I think I can send him a hard drive and request it, but no, at this moment we do not have them in in-house, but I would like to. It's really
okay.
Important.
What I will do, I will bring it again to the PMB, and we will send the directives again, because the PMB direct all the stations to do that. And I remember talking to KPFT people, and they told me that they didn't have any problem. They can send you that without the minimum problem. And I was happy thinking that everybody was going the was doing the what they we are asked to. But
yeah.
I will bring it again to the PMB,
okay.
And we will be sure that everybody comply.
Great. Thank you very much.
No, thank you.
So I think anybody else on the first round? Barbara had a question.